It's not your bread and butter. It's not what is making true meaningful connections in the world. Now, like a conversation with somebody as a result of a post, that's something else entirely. That's real value right
Right.
there.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
Well, I just want to welcome Dan Lee to the Passion Behind the Art show. He became a good buddy of mine, and I just want to officially have him on the audio part of the show. I did a script written interview with him a couple years ago.
That's right.
And now I have an official podcast, so why not have him officially on?
Dan Lee. It's an honor, man.
What's going on, brother?
Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just trying to adjust, taking on this Creative South high and just kind of rolling with it, being super busy.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
I mean, it's lasted this long. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Kind of just using the notes I've taken and everyone that just trying to just keep myself and letting some people know what I want to do so they'll help me keep me accountable.
It's the way to go.
Yeah. All right, so let's kick it off. How did Dan's design journey start?
Oh man, I feel like there's so many different answers to this question, but I'm gonna start with the like the growing up angle. Ever since I was really young, I've always really been into like drawing and art, and my parents are really great at just fostering that, allowing me to draw on everything with anything all the time. And I feel like I just grew up around a lot of inspiring art. Like my parents had great books about how to draw, or even just like books with great art in them. They're both very creative people. I think when I was young or like around middle school, I got Adobe Photoshop Elements, because I feel like I'm part of that generation that grew up with computers and word processors, but like they were growing up with us. So I remember getting Photoshop Elements because, I realized that there was this whole other world of art, things like book covers or scrapbooking, posters, all those kinds of things. I loved like drawing them myself when I realized you could use the computer to do it.
Right.
And my parents managed to get, that intro software. I ate it up. I started doing like yearbook clubs in middle school and high school. And then from there, really, I was just doing it all the time. People started, it's the kind of thing you keep doing until people notice. And then they start asking you to do stuff. And it sort of gets that snowball rolling. And then I worked the summer between high school and college. I did graphic design for a friend's company over that summer, and then decided not to pursue that in college. That's a whole different story, but it was always like the undercurrent of what, I guess, like the passion that I always had. So I was always finding ways to do it anyway. And then once I graduated with my other degree, I realized that, this love hadn't gone away, and thought, it's worth at least seeing if I have what it takes to crack the industry with just based on my love of it and my practice of it alone. One thing led to another, and it turns out that it worked out.
Right.
So here I am now, a graphic designer.
Cool. It's funny you said that you didn't originally pursue graphic design in college. I'm curious, what did you pursue?
I picked chemical engineering. It's kind of like, as far off the spectrum of graphic design as you can get.
Yeah, the reason why I asked, because I didn't go to school for graphic design either. I actually went to school for architecture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See,
everyone said that was the one to do, because they were like, well, it's like a lucrative job.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah, it's so true, man.
There's no money in art,
There's literally none. So I know that you do graphic design, but for me, I know you because of lettering. So how did this lettering graphic design turn into the monster you are in lettering.
Oh, well, first of all, that's very kind of you to say, and I won't stop you from complimenting me like that, but I don't know if I've totally deserved it. I think that also kind of goes back to, like, a when I was young answer, because my dad used to have all these calligraphy books around the house, because I think when he was younger, he was really into, you know, straight up calligraphy, like with the pens and the ink and the strokes and the, you know, the really classical stuff. And I remember, not since I didn't have those tools, but I really liked the look of the letters, that I would take like scrap paper and try to just draw them myself. So I think that was really where my journey started. But also, if we rewind back further, when I was first starting to write, you know, penmanship at all, I remember thinking that it was like drawing all day.
Gotcha.
Like every time, like, we would go into class and have to like write our alphabets or write out words and stuff, I thought that it was the funnest thing ever, because I just got to draw. Like, I just always saw it as drawing. So my teachers were like telling my mom, like, your son is a printer. I was like, haha, joke's on you. I'm having fun at school. And so I think that just stuck with me through all the years. Like, I would always copy fonts from the computer or things like my dad's books, just for fun, because there's something about it that just, I don't know, I just really enjoyed the challenge and how it looked and felt, you know, to draw something that people could read and immediately relate to, that could capture like all this energy and all this emotion and meaning,
right?
You know, because your words, right, like, you, they're there to be read.
Gotcha.
So that was sort of the overall lettering, but the sort of more specific lettering, that like the Instagram and everything, that happened during that year after I graduated college, when I was doing your classic like soul searching time. And it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? I was in Philly and really inspired, because I was just walking around the city, and I remember having a notebook in my backpack, and going to a coffee shop and being like, I have the whole day to do whatever I want. I think I should start a creative project. So I opened up this notebook and I thought, how cool would it be to fill up this notebook with like posters of, I don't know, like word art, for lack of a better term. At this time, I had no idea there was like a lettering community or anything like that. I was just, okay, let me just do this project. Also, in Philly, we have these amazing lettering murals by this guy, Steve Powers.
Gotcha.
And I, during one of my internships at Drexel, I'd be on the subway, and we'd be way above the ground. So really, I don't know why it's still the subway, but you're going up above all these buildings, and his murals would be, you know, every few blocks you'd see some.
Cool.
They're all text-based on these giant walls, and I was really inspired by those. So I think that's partly what was also in my mind when I sat down that day in the coffee shop. I'm like, all right, I can do stuff like that. I used to do this all the time. So I did that, started posting that on Instagram, on my like personal Instagram, and a friend of mine was eventually like, you know what, you should start like a separate Instagram account that's just for your like words. I was like, that's a great idea. I'm gonna call it Dan Drawn Words, because that was like the hashtag for the initial project.
Okay, gotcha.
It was kind of like equal parts corny and accurate, so like, and memorable. So I was like, okay, I'll go with that. And I just started doing that, you know, just for fun. And the good news is that's still what it is today. I'm doing it because it's fun.
Cool. So my guess, because one of the questions I had was, are you doing Dandra Words full time? In a sense, like, I guess, how, so are you working full time?
I am working full time. I'm currently doing graphic design for the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia.
Right.
Which, like, nutshell summary, I've gotten really good at this because I have to explain it all the time. It's this like a membership organization for businesses in the 11 county region surrounding Philadelphia. And they have all these different councils and initiatives and opportunities for these businesses. So lots of events, lots of programs, meetings, ways for businesses to get involved with different aspects of the community. I love all the different touch points that they have. And so we have an in-house team of three of us who design all the collateral for these events and these different things. So on a given day, we're doing slides, we're doing invitation design, putting together directories or agendas. And then every once in a while, we'll have some really cool projects like typographic videos, or one time, like, I made a book cover for Alice in Wonderland, which was very fun. So, wow. I mean, it's the variety is great. The people are great to work with because they trust so much of our work, which makes it great. And we just have this environment where we're able to be creative all the time, never be bored, and keep churning out new stuff that people, you know, don't tend to focus on, which is even better.
Cool. So Dan Drawing Words is legitimately just straight a passion project.
Yeah, it is. Wow. I mean, at this point, you know, given like some of the notice that I've gotten, I've been able to turn that into some freelance work and some other projects.
Right.
But yeah, it's not the main thing.
Gotcha. So how did you get that gig with the Chamber of Commerce? That's just kind of interesting to me. I didn't even know they did all that.
It was very interesting. I actually applied for an internship in 2015, and then there was an extraordinary set of circumstances that in the short period between my interview and when I got hired, like they suddenly needed a full-time graphic designer and liked my stuff enough that they were willing to, like, I remember getting the call that's like, would you be interested if we were to offer this? And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, I guess I could be. You know, this is like a dream come true. It's like, I don't have a degree and I'm about to actually get
a gig,
a job in this field. That's like the validation that came with that was definitely, that's huge.
That is sick. That's interesting. I never even knew the Chamber of Commerce did all that. I know like almost everywhere has a Chamber of Commerce, but
that's interesting.
So I know it wasn't all gravies. You didn't just post your first post and you got hundreds of likes. Like, what was the biggest struggle in growing this audience that you currently have?
Let's see. I don't know.
Even in this design journey overall.
Yeah. I was fortunate that like the following and the numbers were never like a big goal for me.
Gotcha.
It was never like, okay, what do I need to do to build a following?
Right.
But as far as my design journey, I think one of my biggest struggles was constantly wondering, like, do I belong here? Is it just something I like to do, but I really don't have what it takes to, you know, hang with the design world or even just, I don't know, like, I think, for lack of a better word, I think believing in myself, which is, it's very complex, I think, because on another hand, like, I was always pretty comfortable with my skill level. I think what it was is I knew I had good taste, and I knew like I could improve, and it was a matter of me trying to find this balance between, okay, I can get better, but am I also good enough? If that makes sense.
Makes sense.
So I think what I've learned the most in the past couple of years is that it's okay to have both of those at the same time, to be able to say, I am good enough, or like, I belong here, or be, you know, to a certain extent proud of the work that I do, while at the same time knowing there's always room for improvement and there are ways to keep pushing myself.
Gotcha.
Getting there is tough. Getting there, actually, that's where Creative South last year, the first year I went, really played a big role in helping me to feel like I actually belonged in this community. Like, these are my people.
Right.
This is the kind of thing that resonates with me, and I have what it takes to, you know, to hang.
Yeah,
for lack of a better word.
Right. Which is, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing about Creative South. I think it's like, just kind of gives you a place. You know, it gives you a place amongst some of these people you've seen online. Like, each person is different. Like, I see you online, and I'm like, whoa, freaking, that's Dan over there. And somebody else, you see someone else, and you'd be like, whoa, that's so-and-so over there. And then everybody is just, like, in the same mixing pot, and everybody's like, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah.
It's
half the time
good.
You just make the friends, and then you're like, oh, wait. Oh my gosh, I've followed you for years or something. You know, I love that.
That is so true. That is so true. That happened to me this year with, what was it? His handle on Instagram is Young. And we was in the, he had the workshop with Will Scully.
Oh, the, you were in fire.
Yeah.
Scott.
You in, oh, yes, that. Yes, that is- yes, Scott. Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite humans on this planet.
Scott, that was that moment more than anything else. We was talking and I was like, he's like, what's your Instagram? And I was like, and we were sharing Instagram. And he was like, I was like, are you kidding? He was like, what happened?
I know.
I was like, dude, that'd be fucking
sneaks up on you like that.
It's crazy. But yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So who is in Dan's support system? Like, when it's everything is not going well, I mean, when, you know, you feel like, man, I really don't belong in this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who is in Dan's support system?
Oh, good question. I think number one would be my family. I have one sister, two brothers, and they're the best family that anyone could hope for. I also have a sister-in-law, so I need to call her out too. She's great.
Give
She's
her a shout
fantastic.
Out.
And my parents, they've like always believed in me. And also like helped me like ground myself in reality.
Right.
So that's been so helpful.
Yeah, family will do that for sure.
Yeah. my friend Eric Friedenson, I'm sure you know him.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't these days? Yeah. That guy, he knows everybody.
Now, Eric is just so down to earth, man.
Yeah. Like, it has been one of the greatest joys of my design journey, I think, is like getting to meet guys like him. He was really instrumental in getting me out to Creative South, really, and sort of inviting me into like the community of people that he already knew. So, yeah, we talk a lot, and we share a lot of things about our own design journeys. I got a couple of guys who are letterers who I talked to as well. And I mean, the network's expanding, like the guys and some of the girls. I mean, just the Instagram community of letterers, like everyone's so uplifting that I've interacted with.
Right.
And the people that I've gotten to meet at Creative South, especially,
right,
fantastic. Like everything that I had come to learn about them online, but then like a million times more, you know,
right, which is true. That is so true.
So, I mean, they're always there with an encouraging word. And then I also get to see like what they're doing and it's great. Yeah. And my boss right now is one of the greatest designers that I've ever met. And she has been like endlessly supportive and really kind of a mentor to me, especially as like a rookie designer.
Gotcha.
The fact that she was willing to take me under her wing when I really knew very little when I started out. Like I had my instincts, I had my taste, but I didn't really have a lot of the technical knowledge.
Gotcha.
So she brought me up to speed and she definitely helps me to not like feel like a failure as a designer. I'm like, okay, like I can talk to her about any of it and she commiserates with me, but she's also there to like, let me know, like if things are going well,
gotcha.
She like, should know that you're doing a really good job. So that's always really encouraging.
Yeah, that's good to have around. Especially that's you don't have, often hear that when someone says they're their boss.
You really don't. I do not take that for granted.
You know, usually more people are like, oh, I want to kill my boss, huh?
Thankfully, I'm not one.
So my question is, what's next for Dan? What next? What's Dan doing next?
Who knows, man? That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I'm just here. I'm here for the ride. Gotcha. I think what's next is whatever crazy thing happens next. I don't know that I'm in a place where I'm really looking for the next thing,
gotcha.
But I'm in a place where I'm open to it happening, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So I like the idea of just, you know, I'll just keep posting, I'll keep coming up with creative projects, keep reaching out to people and writing stuff and see what happens next. So I think we'll figure out that answer to that question together.
I gotcha. It sounds good. So by my understanding and by your posts, I know you, I'm guessing that you're a man of faith.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that, because for me, that was probably the most refreshing thing about Creative Self. Because
the faith-based aspect.
Yeah, because that I didn't know a lot of people. I knew a lot of designers, but I didn't know a lot of people, you know, designers that are Christian. So it was it was very refreshing. It was very refreshing for me. I got to know Mike Jones, so you know, a lot of it was refreshing for me. So tell me a little bit about that and, you know, your journey as a designer and juggling being a designer and being a Christian at the same time.
Sure. To me, it makes a lot of sense that the two go hand in hand. I was raised in the church, you know, grew up a Christian, or at least, you know, grew up in a Christian family and then made the decision to follow Christ in high school. And you know, I do believe that it's kind of like you don't get saved over and over again, but you do kind of have to recommit your life continually. And, you know, there have been ups and downs in my life, especially with the whole journey of like, okay, God, what are you calling me to do?
Right.
If I believe that you're in control, then why does it seem like everything's so crazy? So it's been a challenge, but a good one of trusting, like, okay, do I believe that there's a God who created the universe, is the divine creator, and also has a personal relationship with each of us, you know, loving us to the extent that he would give his son for us, take our sin, and then promise us, like, eternal life, give us his spirit. Things like this whole package of really this worldview, right. Do I believe this worldview enough that I can, you know, let it shape the decisions that I make? And then I find that with design too, the fact that it's this echoing of that creative aspect of God.
True.
Like I find that builds my faith. Like I can see, you know, if we believe that we're all made in the image of God, the creator, then it makes sense that we have, some of us have this really creative drive.
Right.
And that gives me a huge appreciation for the whole realm of design and for, like, everyone who's doing it, you know, echoing God in that sense. And so I feel like it fits.
Gotcha.
Really well. Gotcha. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about that, you know, and to really live out in the world, like what it means to allow your faith to permeate your worldview to the extent that it's just kind of like the fabric of your life is one.
It's just one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's I have my design and I have my faith in God, and the two just
works.
Go together.
Right.
And to the extent that like opportunities come up to talk about it, I'm really grateful for those as well. Awesome. I feel like I kind of went all over the place with that.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's great.
I mean, I feel like there's so many different aspects of like faith and design that I could go on about.
Yeah, it's probably a whole nother show.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, I like that it's an avenue to express that and right. to sometimes to really challenge myself to consider, like, do I believe this enough that I'm willing to talk about it and share it? Because it can be easy sometimes to just pretend like I don't have a system of beliefs in a certain way. Gotcha. But then there are other times when it's like, yeah, I can totally, I have the freedom to do this, and this is what I believe. So
awesome, awesome. So we're getting close to the end. So what's Dan's advice for designers?
Oh boy.
You know what I mean? What advice would you give?
If I'm allowed to give advice at this point.
Because there's a statement before, especially with like the growing audience. Everybody's like infectious with growing an audience, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I get it. It's a great leveraging point, right, to have a large audience. But it becomes obsessive and, you know, we're getting captivated by likes and lack thereof.
Yeah.
And what advice would you give for that designer that's posting and they're not getting that necessarily like attention that they want to have to be able to create this great leveraging point?
Yeah. Oh boy. I'm going for the deep questions here, man. I think the first would be turn off your like notifications. Like you don't need that coming up on your phone or not coming up on your phone. Like every other, like whatever the time period is that it's popping up. Like, no, don't. It's fine to check. Okay. It's fine to open up the app and look at it. Everyone does that.
Right.
It's totally normal. But don't let it interrupt the flow of your life by notifying you like that someone has liked or that, you know, a period goes by and you get anxious because no one has. Like, that's just a piece of social media anxiety that's completely unnecessary. And then, like, it's one thing to be able to say, like, likes don't matter. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. Like, right. They do represent often like a connection to people around the world and people who share your values, and frequently also spam bots and right. people who use like services to just come. Nice work. Beautiful. Great. Unlike everyone with the hashtag, you know, whatever. I think there is a real value in that kind of validation, but I think you have to consider like what you're going to, what kind of, like how much power you're going to give that.
Right.
Got to acknowledge it's a good thing and that it's great to see, but at the end of the day, it's not, you know, it's not your bread and butter. It's not what is making true meaningful connections in the world. Now, like a conversation with somebody as a result of a post, that's something else entirely. That's real value right there.
Right.
I would say like treasure those kinds of things. Treasure social media when it allows you to make connections outside of social media. So I think like the biggest is just don't sweat it so much. Don't put so much effort into trying to make it happen. But see, at the same time, and here's the paradox. I think that like being thoughtful about what you put out into the world will have like the returns that you're looking for. If you're able to just do what you're passionate about, I think especially for like a visual platform like Instagram, right?
Right.
A lot of the times if you're just consistent and putting out your best work, really paying attention to making it look good, and then you're just, you know, in a sense you're curating for yourself. And you're practicing for yourself what, you know, what excellence to you looks like. Like, here is the best that I could come up with lately. And then, like, I'm proud to put that out in the world, you know. So there's a measure of making it look good and caring about it that I think should happen. But then that's where, like, once it comes to the feedback, that's when you need to shut off the notifications and just kind of appreciate the connections that do come about. Like right. when it does get a lot of likes, that's great. Maybe like learn from that to create something else that both resonates with you and you realize resonates with other people.
Gotcha.
If it doesn't, you know, evaluate that, but also keep a category in your mind for things that you still love that, you know, maybe didn't resonate with people. Maybe find another outlet for that or find a way to make it work. Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, right, it's a tool. It's not your enemy and it's not your friend.
Right.
And the important thing is finding a way to make it work for you instead of letting it control your life.
Right.
And obviously that's so much easier said than done.
Yeah, it's true.
But definitely starts with turning off those notifications.
I think that's probably the biggest tip of all. Greatest thing I've ever done was turned off all my notifications. The only notification I have on is comments and messages. Outside of that, I turned off every single notification.
There you go. That's perfect.
Because I figure if someone is either commenting or sending me a message, they are asking for my attention. So
yeah.
So, but yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I've ever done.
That's a great idea, man. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I've done. But man, I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, of course, I'm going to keep in touch. But thanks again for doing this, man. It was a pleasure.
No problem, dude. Thank you for having me.
And next time I'm in Philly, we're definitely going to hook up.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Blessings.
All right. Peace.
All right.
You can learn more about Dan Lee at Dan Drawing Words on Instagram. That's Dan Drawing Words on Instagram. You can also keep in touch with me at dpcreates.com. Blessings.